No matter where you are, you're on Texas Standard Time on this Thursday, June 2nd. I'm David Brown, and we're so glad you're spending a bit of your day with us. You've heard the phrase 100-year flood, right? Technically speaking, we're talking about an event that has a 1% probability of occurring in any given year. That's what that is. Not to be confused with what's just happened on the Brazos, where the river has surged to its highest level in more than 100 years. In this late spring marathon of rain blamed for at least 6 deaths in Texas, no rays of sunshine or hope in the immediate forecast. If meteorologists are right that some 10 inches of rain will fall in the Houston area over the next several days, we may be looking at another round of devastation in the fourth largest city in the nation. In fact, Houston has just activated its emergency operations center. But look, this is bigger than Houston. Several rivers in southeastern and eastern Texas are way beyond flood stage already. Parts of I-35 in San Antonio were closed early this morning because of the rain. There was even a high water rescue at Lackland Air Force Base. All in all, hundreds of water rescues. The governor has issued a disaster declaration for 31 Texas counties. Keep it here for the latest, including weather alerts for your hometown, of course. You know, when these weather events happen, we often turn to meteorologists. We look to the sky for answers. But perhaps the eyes of Texas should be looking the other direction, that is, to the ground. Jonathan Burnett, no relation to the NPR reporter, by the way, is an engineer who studies hydrology and floodwater flows, and he has literally written the book on flash floods in Texas. In fact, that's the title of his book. Welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you, David. Good morning.
We mentioned the Brazos River reaching levels not seen in 100 years. I was struck to read in your book of a flood more than 100 years ago, again, the Brazos River here, and stories of, you know, people who had endured repeated floods, but just, they just refused to move, same as it always has been, it sounds like.
Indeed. The Brazos River flood of 1913, I think, is the one that we're dating back to now, and that one was one of the ones for the records. I mean, the rumor was, I don't know if they could really confirm it, but the rumor was that the Brazos and the Colorado rivers joined, you know, as they approached the coast down there towards the Lake Jackson area. So, I mean, that was quite the legendary flood, and to read about that, you know, that flood came down from central Texas, even from up around Belton, and then worked its way down through the bottomlands, and you would read about what people would do to survive that and having to stay for days on top of their barns. And the problem with that flood is it was in December, so then after the rains came, cold weather came in. So like you said, the people that have lived along the river bottoms have survived many a test from the river.
I mean, but obviously, we think about climate change quite often when we see these great events. But Texas has endured so much development over the past 100 years. How much of that are we really talking about when we're talking about the effects of flooding today?
That's what I see is, you know, certainly we have these extreme events that happen, and they've happened at least for our time for, you know, recorded history, and certainly was happening before then. Some of the experts in the field, like Roy Sedwick, LCRA, TFMA, I believe he's done historical studies that even he dug up information where I think even the Alamo might have had to been moved back in the 1700s, 1800s, or something like that due to flooding down there. So it's something that's been around for a long time. But as you say, now we have a lot more people in the path of the flood, and so that's a significant impact and part of the tragedy that happens with these events.
Do we just have to resign ourselves as Texans that this is something we are destined to live with?
So certainly here in Central Texas, I mean, the data would certainly back up the fact that we're going to have intense storms, we're going to have rapid runoff, and our streams are going to rise quickly. You know, multiple floods have happened, you know, over the years throughout Houston, and like what we've seen now here recently, they've been significant and even record-setting. And then that's where it gets back to the question of, is this partially due to climate change? And one of the experts on that, I believe, is a state climatologist, and he's written well about that. And so, David, it's a big question, and, you know, it's kind of difficult sometimes to tell people not to build close to a waterway when we've been through, you know, 5 years of drought like we were a few years back. But then when we have events like this, you know, we try to communicate what the potential is for the both the rainfall and the stream flow. And part of the thing is that when you're dealing with 500-year floods and you have 100 years of history, you know, that limit kind of changes, and you have to, it's kind of a moving target, I think, to some degree.
Jonathan Burnett is the author of the book on flash floods in Texas, Flash Floods in Texas. Mr. Burnett, thanks very much for speaking with us.
All right. Thank you, David.